People of Earth, your planet has been destroyed.
Welcome to Conspiracy, the show, the world's most trusted conspiracy theory podcast, with your hosts, Adam Todd Brown and Olivia Haidar.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Conspiracy, the show. I'm Adam Todd Brown.
And I'm Olivia Haidar.
And we are your hosts. Olivia, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well. You know, I just watched a documentary about babies dying.
This is...
So, feeling good.
This is some heavy stuff. The title of this documentary, The Baby Killer Conspiracy, that we're covering on this week's episode, could not be more ripped from the headlines-esque. But it really doesn't pertain to any...
Yeah.
Like, it has nothing to do with abortion or anything
that. I mean, it's a tough one to Google, I'll say that. I didn't love the act of Googling it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet. It all worked out really well. Sometimes I'm, like, at a loss for what we're going to talk about, and I shit you not,
right,
I'll just run the word conspiracy through the search bar on some streaming service. And occasionally I'll strike gold. And
right.
I did that, I think, on Amazon this time, and I happened to subscribe to Discovery Plus through Amazon.
Yeah,
and on Discovery Plus is a two-part documentary series called The Baby Killer Conspiracy. It's about the stories of three different women who were all accused of killing their children.
Right.
And they all went to prison for it. Some of them are still in prison for it.
Yes.
And the thing is, they probably did not kill their kids.
Yeah, this documentary made me cry twice, which is a first for the show, I think.
It's rough. Like, this is the kind of thing we would normally cover on the Pretty Scary podcast, because it is kind of a true crime thing. Like, the foundation of true crime, I say it all the time, the bedrock of the true crime genre is shitty police work. Like, without...
Yeah.
Awful, inept, corrupt cops, the true crime genre would not exist. It is a celebration of shitty police work.
I mean, it's really all the proof of police abolition and prison abolition that you need.
Yes, it's that. But it's also a good reminder for people who just shudder when they hear the word conspiracy. And like, your mind automatically goes to like, storming the Capitol and stuff like that. But this is a conspiracy.
It is. It is.
Like, any police cover-up is essentially a conspiracy.
Sure. It's kind of a roundabout. Because, like, the conspiracy is the rot at the heart of almost every criminal justice system in the world.
Right. Well, I mean, this is like a physical conspiracy, though. This is people working together toward one end, but saying they're working toward another end. That's all a conspiracy is.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I'm definitely, I'm not disagreeing that it's a conspiracy. It's just that they're not conspiring together in the traditional sense that you imagine, where the parties that are working towards this common goal are doing so independently for the most part, where they just have all arrived at this shitty, non-scientific, and evil, baseless conclusion that serves the criminal justice system. But, like, it definitely, like, you know, there's shredding evidence. There's, like, a lot of classic, like, conspiracy markers in this. It just happens to be that nobody really conspires together.
Right. It also, I guess not loosely, but I guess kind of loosely ties into something that I'm pretty shocked that apparently we've never covered on this podcast, which is the Satanic Panic.
Because
we did a pretty scary episode about the Satanic Panic. And this doesn't completely tie into it the way we're going to bring up another documentary called The Syndrome later on. It plays a very minor role in the story here. But that documentary is about shaken baby syndrome, which just to tease it a little bit, as it turns out, if you're not familiar, shaken baby syndrome was an idea that was pushed by the same group that pushed the Satanic Panic and like ritual mass abuse. And they both ended in the same thing, which was innocent people going to prison for things they didn't actually do. And in the case of shaken baby syndrome, like, we all know the satanic panic was nonsense now, but people are still pretty flabbergasted when they find out shaken baby syndrome is kind of a myth.
Well, it's one that I think is going to be tough to totally stamp out, because if you shake a baby, it will die.
That's the thing. There's no doubt that shaking an infant violently is going to gravely injure that child. That's not what anyone is getting at when it comes to shaking baby syndrome. It's just that, I mean, we'll get into it more later, but the way shaken baby syndrome has been presented to the public is that if these three symptoms are present, it's always shaken baby syndrome. It can be nothing else. Like, according to that line of thinking, even a fall cannot cause the same kind of injuries that shaken baby syndrome can cause, which is insane.
Right.
It's insane.
It's the same sort of woman-hating logical fallacy that's at the heart of the SIDS thing that we're talking about today.
Right. And it, I mean, it's kind of at the heart of what's happening with abortion right now.
So in absolutely.
The country too.
100%.
And so we'll talk about the syndrome a little bit later, but we're covering, again, a documentary called The Baby Killer Conspiracy. The first woman they bring up, Kathleen Folbig.
Yes.
She had a troubled upbringing. Her father murdered her mother, for one thing.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah, that's going to have an impact.
It's gonna leave some scars. She married an older man named Craig when she was just barely out of high school. Craig
we'll get to it.
Fucking sucks. As a husband myself, I can tell you Craig fucking sucks.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't do what he does?
No. Craig should be in marriage prison for what he does in this documentary. But their first child, Caleb, born in 1989, died at 19 days old, and his death was attributed to SIDS, or crib death, cot death.
The first child is the one where they discover that he has some sort of loose trachea.
I feel like they actually, a doctor called it floppy larynx.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was trying to think of, yes.
It's like, floppy is the science word for it?
Because that really popped out to me.
Yeah.
But like, you know, that seems like a thing that could kill a baby, you know, if not taken care of.
Yeah. Or if nothing else, it could render a baby unconscious for a bit.
Yeah. Like, or weaker than you might otherwise be. It's just.
Yeah. Next child, Patrick, born about a year later, at around the age of 4 months. Craig is awakened by the sound of Kathleen screaming. I should point out, Patrick was about 4 months, not Craig. He's her husband.
Right.
Around the age of 4 months, Craig hears Kathleen screaming. He runs into Patrick's room, sees her standing over his crib, and Patrick wasn't breathing. He was rushed to the hospital and found to be suffering from epilepsy and cortical blindness, but they never really figured out what caused him to stop breathing.
Right.
And he lived for another 4 months. He was having seizures that whole time. And he eventually is discovered dead in his crib by Kathleen. And he died from airway obstruction due to an epileptic seizure was his cause of death. Which, again, that's a cause of death. That's not child abuse. Like, that, a doctor looked at this child and said, this is how he died. He died from a seizure.
Important for later.
Very important. Next child, Sarah, was born in October 1992 at the age of 10 months. She is found dead in her crib. And around this time, another woman goes on trial who is a legitimate killer. Her name is Beverly Allitt. And she was murdering kids during her shift working at a hospital, like injecting them with insulin, I believe.
And not her children either.
No.
I think that's an important distinction as well.
Right.
Big difference. But yes, also convicted of having an awful haircut.
Yeah.
Say.
Yeah, she was a fucking character.
Whew.
What's important about that trial is Roy Meadow. Roy Meadow should be, I don't know, is he still alive? I bet he's still alive.
Yeah, let's shoot that fucker into space. How about that? let's get that guy the fuck out of here.
He's the kind of person that's going to live to be like 114 years old.
Yes, exactly.
Roy Meadow kind of makes a name for himself during the Beverly Allitt trial. Like, his mm-hmm. testimony makes him like a really early version of like a TV, like, he's not a TV guy, but he's like a celebrity witness.
Yeah, it's a weird phenomenon.
Like, if you need to send a woman to prison for a crime she didn't commit, you call Roy
Meadow. You just gotta.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so he becomes very important in this story yeah. later. Around this time, there's a bunch of high-profile cases involving either mothers killing their own children or this Beverly Allitt thing. And did we right. mention this is all happening in Australia and the UK?
Oh, I don't think we mentioned Australia. Yeah, Kathy's in Australia.
Yes. And I think Beverly Allitt was in the UK.
Yeah, and Roy Meadow is a British doctor.
He had also kind of made a name for himself in the field of Munchausen syndrome research, which is a name I spelled correctly on the first try, and I was blown away. I was yeah. sure I was going to botch it, but...
Well, you're such a fan of the Terry Gilliam film, Baron Munchausen.
Sure, and Eminem also, you know, I've heard him
of course.
Whine about that shit so much.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the guy, Roy Meadow is like the guy who basically, he popularized the idea of Munchausen syndrome by proxy, which is what I think most people think of now when they think of
yes.
Munchausen syndrome in general, like the idea of pretending that a child is sick in order to get attention.
Right. Or making them sick.
But yeah, in the process often making them
sick. And I should say Eminem whining about that. That's not me discounting the experiences of people yeah. who have suffered this. It's just me discounting Eminem's experience. Like that guy... He's had a good run. It's fine.
Yeah, he's doing okay now, but I'm sure that was a tough thing to go through.
Sure.
Anyway.
I bet being married to him was a tough thing to go through, too.
Oh, no, absolutely. I know it. It was.
So, yeah, he becomes a highly sought-after witness in criminal trials involving dead children, basically.
And this, what a career.
This guy was of the belief, basically, that most SIDS deaths are actually murders.
Yes.
Especially in cases where women lost multiple children. He's also right. really fixated on the idea that once you're at a certain, like, economic level in your life, your kids don't die suddenly. Like, that happens to poor people. And that's facts to some extent, yes. obviously.
Well...
But that, like, that's like saying, well, once you're rich, you should never get struck by lightning. Because,
right.
like, the odds he starts bringing up are, like, winning the lottery, struck by lightning kind of shit. But, like,
yeah, there's lots
you can't
to
say that. You can't say, well, hey, you're too rich to get struck by lightning. That's not how fucking world works.
Nope. He's a fucking asshole and a monster. He is the absolute villain of this documentary. And of the world.
100%.
One of them. Again, we're going to have a lot to say about his use of statistics later on.
Yeah, he comes up with a statistic that is just so absurd. And yes. the entire world just drinks it in without question. It's nuts.
Just went along. Didn't even think about it.
So Kathleen Folbig, back to her, she and Craig in 1996 have their fourth child, Laura. She died at the age of 18 months. Mm-hmm. And this is the point where doctors are getting suspicious because they made a pretty big production of making sure this child did not suddenly die.
Yeah.
And then she did.
Yeah. It's really sad.
It's horrifying. And so the police search Kathleen's house and... Mm-hmm. The baby shirt seems like it might have a little bit of blood on it, but beyond that, there's nothing
yeah.
in the house that indicates a murder happened.
They yeah,
don't
there's
find
like
any evidence is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Like on the pillow, there's like a tiny. There was a small amount of blood found on the pillow, and then they show it. They have to zoom in
yeah.
so much because it is such a teensy amount of blood. It could be from anything.
Yeah, if you had a bloody nose, like just a scratch in your nose, it was like
yeah.
that amount of blood, like a minor amount of blood trickling out of your nose.
Absolutely.
But beyond that, there's nothing. There's nothing
nope.
that indicates a murder has happened. There's nothing in her background, really, that...
No.
indicates that she would murder her kids.
Yeah, and like, this is not evidence necessarily, but all of her friends that she has are extremely supportive. They are some of the major supporting characters in the documentary. And no one thinks that she had this within her to kill four babies. To kill four babies. That requires a certain mindset, wouldn't you imagine?
Yeah. I'm going to argue it's not typical behavior.
No, you don't think?
But the thing is, like, according to this Roy Meadow guy, like, women are just murdering their kids constantly, all the time, left and right.
Not only that, but, like, looking for a excuse to be able to murder their children. Like, it's kind of how it's phrased. It's like, you know, if a child is sick, then it might, or, you know, if the child gets in a way, it gets in the way, then it might present an opportunity for the mother to murder this child. It's like, who thinks like this? It's disgusting.
Yeah. So the next story they bring up is Sally Clark.
Yeah.
Also tragic. Her first son, Christopher, died within a few weeks of birth in 1996.
Yeah.
And his cause of death was lower respiratory tract infection, which that's important because, again, a doctor looked at this child and came up with a cause of death based on medical science and free of the media storm that eventually springs up around Sally Clark. A little over a year later, her second son, Harry, is born. Harry dies a few weeks later under similar circumstances. And about a month after that, Sally is taken in for questioning. And the police suggest that maybe she shook him to death.
Yeah.
After that, a medical examiner, for some reason, goes back and changes Christopher's cause of death to murder by smothering. From lower respiratory tract infection to murder by smothering.
That's the first thing that really started to make me want to pull all of my hair out of my head.
Yeah. The conspiracy here is one that I would argue is kind of a global conspiracy that a lot of people participate in without realizing it. And it is the conspiracy that involves no one wanting to ever admit they're wrong.
Sure.
And you see a lot of that in this case. There's a whole lot, especially with Kathleen Fulbig, who is still in prison. There's been, we'll go into it in more detail, but there's been a lot of evidence that should have resulted in her exoneration. And the people responsible for looking at it won't look at it because they are so convinced they were right the first time.
It's maddening. It's so sickening and infuriating. It's so sad. This is something I was really wrestling with while watching it, but like, I really don't see the use or reason behind putting a mother who murdered her own child in prison. I don't understand prosecuting that as a criminal offense. Like, I agree that it is an awful thing, but like, that is obviously a health and welfare issue. That is obviously that woman having a, you know, mental break and needing help. Like, how is prison going to resolve the situation? How is dragging these women through the media circus of having everybody they know calling them a child killer helping this situation? Like, obviously, this goes for almost every criminal justice matter, but I just limiting it to parents killing their own children. Like, for one thing, I mean, you know, especially tiny babies, like, it's just so wrong. It's just so wrong-headed and so
especially
sad to watch.
Like, I mean, I can see some cases. Like, there's just some people are just fucking murderers and they will kill their kids. But especially in cases where things like postpartum depression are involved, like, you can't. Like, that can't be a prison thing. Like, that's
nuts.
No,
I agree.
Like, but everyone also, like, knows how devastating that is now. The science is in. Yeah. And,
well,
like, there's a lot of famous examples of, I mean, not a lot, fortunately, but there are famous examples of women who are still in prison for killing their kids. And it was clearly a postpartum depression thing.
Absolutely. But also, like, even women who are, like, just doing it for, I guess, cold-blooded murder, that's a mental health issue. Like, that's not a prison issue. They murdered a child. Are they really a danger to public safety?
Well, I guess I'm thinking, like, yes, if you're talking like an actual child, but like if there's like a mother and daughter team who enter into some fucking criminal enterprise when the kid is like in her 30s,
okay,
and then sure, the mom like offs her in a business deal gone okay wrong.
I feel like that's significantly different from what you might think when someone says this yeah mom killed her child. You know,
but
like
still
I feel like business partner comes first at a certain point.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, but you're right, sorry, like, that's my like abolitionist this rant. It was just something that I kept coming to over and over as I was watching this, as all of these women are tortured. Even if they were guilty, they didn't deserve anything that happens to them. Just because I'm saying that they don't deserve what happened to them in this doesn't mean that if a mother murdered her child that we as a community should not deal with that.
No, I get what you're saying. Like, there's like, just different ways to deal with that besides just throwing someone in prison.
Right. So much of what, spoiler alert for the real life events covered in this documentary, but what happens to Sally Clark kills her. Flat out.
Yeah. Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts. And that should not happen to anybody going to prison, let alone a mother who has killed her child, even if she actually did kill her child.
The other big aspect of this, the media reaction to this is just as bad as anything else. And it's a thing I've brought up on other podcasts a whole bunch, but that whole era of trying people in the media, which we mm-hmm still do to some extent, but not like yeah it was in the 90s. Like, this was happening in the US here too.
This is why I've said that we should cover the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, because that's kind of the closest thing we have to something like this, and it's just as disgusting.
Yeah.
It only serves the people in power. It only serves the government and the judges and the prosecutors. That's the only people that this sort of behavior helps. It does not serve our community. It doesn't serve the people who were hurt by the person who is charged. Like, no. It's just serving the state. Anyway, that's my abolitionist shit. I'm sorry. I had to go on it because this was just really rankling the abolitionist in me. And so I had to, like, say some shit.
It's a very frustrating documentary.
Whew! Like I said, cried twice.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. So I don't think we mentioned, but following a lengthy investigation, Sally Clark is charged in 1998. With murdering her two children. And then there's Angela Cannings, who,
yeah,
this one seems especially egregious to me because these kids die, like, it's not close proximity. Like, it's over the course of 10 years. No. I mean, that's kind of close.
Yeah.
But yeah, she had a child, Gemma, in 1989, who died of SIDS at 13 weeks. Jason, born in 1991, died at 7 weeks. Matthew, born in 1999, died at 18 weeks. Not long after Matthew dies, she is arrested yeah for murder, because by this point there's all these mm-hmm other trials happening and other examples of it. So the police are just thirsty to arrest moms
right
for killing kids.
And we'll get into this later, but like, she's the one who is really only arrested specifically on Meadows Law. Like, yeah, that is basically the only cited evidence in her whole case.
Yeah, that's the thing all these women have in common, is the testimony of Roy Meadow. He, by this point, yeah, by this point, he's made a name for himself. And whenever there's a case like this, he shows up and he whips out Meadow's Law, which, if you came up with the law, are you allowed to name the law? I feel like someone else should have to name it and decide if you are worthy of having a law named right after you.
But I mean, that might have been what happened. There's also, I'm thinking of Godwin's Law, like
yeah
some of the Poe's Law, the more recent laws.
Yes, which
the more
none
bullshit
of them are
laws.
Laws, including Meadows' Law. But
oh yeah, no, Meadows' Law is embarrassing.
Meadows' Law should be a crime. Like, he should be in prison for this.
He should have, I mean, he should be in space, I've already said.
Yeah.
But like, it's just, well, let's say what Meadows' Law is first.
Meadows' Law, here it goes. One, sudden death is a tragedy. Two, suspicious. Three, murder unless proven otherwise. So if you're a woman and three of your kids die, you are guilty until you prove to the courts that you are innocent. Because that's how the justice system works.
Yeah. Yeah. I swear to God, it's supposed to go a little different than that. I think, like, the wording that I heard was slightly different. I can't remember. I can't put my finger on what's wrong with that.
Maybe it was flipped. I don't know. Was it flipped?
Oh, you mean the exact opposite,
right? Oh, innocent
of how it's supposed to be.
I've heard that. Now that I think about
interesting.
It.
Interesting. Fuck this. This makes even like a baby, a dead baby, could tell you that this does not make a single fucking lick of logical sense. Let alone, and when you get into his actual like suggested reasoning for it, it's preposterous.
Yeah, like my first thought when I heard this for some reason was a thing that actually comes up later was, well, what if it's an environmental thing? Like,
yeah,
what if there is some kind of contamination where they live that isn't severe enough to kill an adult, but maybe it's severe enough to kill a little baby?
Yeah, like you know, it's really hard to keep a baby alive.
It really
is
something
that we've learned through history.
Yeah. The most insane part is this. You're right. This is what gets Angela Canning's convicted.
And literally, I did not hear a single other piece of evidence for her.
And what's crazy about it is by the time she's convicted, Meadows' Law discredited.
Yeah.
Like it had, like someone else, spoiler, it's Sally Clark, had already been tried, convicted, and released because they realized Meadows' Law was nonsense, and they fucking went forward with trying Angela Canning's, and she went to prison. So, Sally Clark's trial.
Yes.
A pathologist who is also a piece of shit and should be in prison. That's a thing that doesn't come up enough in stories like these. Yes, you want the wrongly convicted person to be exonerated and released from prison.
Yeah.
But how about charging those people who clearly were derelict of their duty in trying this crime, send them to prison?
Well, here's the thing. You know what a pro-criminal justice advocate would say to that is, well, if you charge these people on those grounds, then you'll charge almost everybody working in criminal justice.
Yeah,
and
which is,
then that shows that, hey, maybe this entire system should be dismantled, because if that's the case, then what the fuck are we even doing? Like, come on.
Yeah, sounds it's like exactly so what sickening. We need. So this pathologist, he's a real piece of shit.
The worst, like the actual worst.
Yeah, he testifies that Sally Clark smothered one of her children and shook the other one. This is where shaken baby syndrome briefly comes up.
Right.
When I watched The Syndrome, which is the documentary about shaken baby syndrome, the first time they show that shaken baby demonstration, which is a thing I had seen a whole bunch of times throughout my life. I'm sure people listening, you can picture it. A guy picks up a doll and shakes the shit out of it. And when I first saw it in the context of that documentary, I was like, fuck, I've been lied to my whole life. Because think about a baby's stupid floppity neck. Like, they can't control it. Like, you have to cradle a baby's head when you hold them.
Fucking idiots.
Yeah, it's silly. It's silly. Like, we have to do so much. And now think about that neck. If you're shaking a baby like that, you're going to snap their neck. Like, there would be severe damage to the neck.
Right.
And that's the thing. If you look into a lot of these shaken baby cases, which one problem is they're very hard to find because no one's charged with shaken baby. They're charged with child abuse. So you have to go through every individual child abuse case to find the ones that were shaken baby syndrome.
Right.
And in those cases, if there's no neck injury, that person's innocent. That person did not shake that baby. You cannot shake a baby to that degree without injuring their neck. Also, again, you can't hold a baby the wrong way without injuring their neck, much less shake the ever-loving shit out of a baby and their neck's just fine. It doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
We did an episode of Pretty Scary back in 2019 about this documentary, and we're going to post that episode. It was a bonus episode at the time, and we're going to post it for free now. Like, it should be up by the time you're listening to this, unless you're way early on the train, in which case give it a couple hours. But go listen to that. It's a very similar thing. It's families, not just women, sometimes it's whole families, or at least husband and wife, going to prison on bullshit charges. And it's because with Shaken Baby Syndrome, this group, they're the same group that pushed the Satanic Panic, the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on Child Abuse and Neglect. Sounds innocent enough, but they are actual evil. They specialize in sending people to prison for crimes they did not commit. And that is all they do. They do not help children. They do not protect children. They hurt children by separating them from their families for no good reason.
And like, guys, I'm sorry. The American criminal justice system does not need your help sending people to prison for no reason.
Sure doesn't.
At all.
It sure doesn't. But they were very helpful in this case. What this group did, in a lot of states, if a child comes in with three specific symptoms, which are subdural hematoma, cerebral edema, and retinal hemorrhage. In a lot of states, still to this day, if you see those three symptoms in a child, this group has put it in people's heads that only shaken baby syndrome can cause those three symptoms. And if you see those three symptoms, you have to call the police because that child is definitely being abused. And now think about what that does to the cop who's getting a call from a doctor. Like, this cop's not a doctor, but the person calling him is a doctor saying, I've examined this child. They are being abused. You need to talk to the parents. That cop is not going to fucking give up until those parents confess to a crime. And I'm sorry, people who are skeptical about it, but false confessions happen all the time.
I just realized that you interact with true crime fans more than I do. And I was just briefly shocked that people doubt that false confessions happen all of the time.
The problem is those three symptoms in the documentary, they show a list of 33 different conditions that can cause those three symptoms. And sometimes it's stuff as innocent as vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah.
And vitamin D deficiency is an epidemic in this country.
Absolutely.
And then the last thing on the list is other natural or accidental causes. So it's way more than 33 things. But somehow it has become law. Like, doctors get in trouble. They can get in legal trouble for not calling the police when they see those three symptoms. It's nuts. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. In that documentary, there's interrogation video of the police interrogating a woman who... her daughter almost certainly had vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah.
And they interrogate her to the point that she confesses. It's nuts.
There's video of both Sally Clark and Kathleen Fulbig's interrogations, and they're heartbreaking. Heartbreaking to watch.
So there's no evidence suggesting Sally Clark killed her kids.
No.
But Roy Meadow next rolls out this statistic. 73 million to 1 odds against a family of Clark's status that they would suffer two sudden infant deaths.
Right.
Like lottery
specifically,
odds.
Yeah. Specifically white, middle class, non-smoking household.
Yes.
Is what they talk about a lot.
And that is what gets Sally Clark convicted.
Yep.
Basically. She is sentenced to life in prison, which granted she's in the UK, that's probably like 18 years or something, but still, this is a travesty. And
yeah, I think it was more than that. I'm pretty sure.
I'm just making jokes about
no, I know
prison is actually better in other countries, you know.
I mean, slightly. I mean, if you listen to the Sally Clark talk about it, it didn't sound great,
They show the prison Sally Clark was in, and I was like, holy shit, that's in England?
Right. I think prison in England in the 80s and 90s was a little bit more hardcore than it maybe is now. And even now, it's not great, I'm sure. I don't. I want to be clear. I'm not saying that, you know, it's all lollipops and rainbows, but it's no Nordic prison.
So the UK media, after Sally Clark gets sentenced, promptly sets about just murdering her character. Like, the police go to the media and they're like, hey, she was a little bit of an alcoholic. And they just...
It's awful. I mean, like, the British tabloids are some of the sickest in the world.
Yeah.
Just most depraved to have ever existed. If you've ever seen a fucking Daily Mail or Sun headline, then you can picture just like fucking 5-inch letters, baby killer mother and shit with a picture of your face. Like, imagine that. And you know, obviously, that you didn't do it and you've had two babies, Dot. That's just what I keep going to over and over again, is these women have literally just had a baby die after a series of babies dying. And like, that's unimaginable pain. Unimaginable.
Yeah. That's why people like Roy Meadow, there has to be a mechanism for charging people.
Yeah.
Like, if a doctor was...
one of the flaws with the system.
Like, if a doctor was that negligent, you could charge them with malpractice. But what do you do to fucking Roy Meadow? Like...
he is a doctor.
Yeah.
And he was that negligent. And they kind of slapped him on the wrist a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. They really gave him the old what for.
It's just devastating. Like, again, it's no surprise that even if these women are released, it's impossible for you to go back to living a normal life, at least in your home. Like, how are you ever going to stay living in that neighborhood or even in that city? You know, like, I couldn't imagine doing that. I would have to move, like, a country, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, you would absolutely want to relocate somewhere. So... next, Kathy Folbig is arrested, and the way she's arrested, this is the big hitch in her case that I think is keeping her in prison. Her husband Craig finds her diary, and like a good husband, he reads it. And in it, she says a few different things, but one of the quotes is, "I know there's nothing wrong with them, nothing out of the ordinary anyway, because it was me, not them." She also wrote, "I am my father's daughter." And reminder, her father murdered her mother. Yeah. And so Craig, once again, being just a great husband and life partner, takes those diaries to the police.
Imagine having so little empathy for the person that you have married and decided to raise children with. To have so little understanding of them. I mean, he married her when he was like 30 and she was 18. So look, I'm not saying he was a good guy. I'm definitely not saying that. But like, to read this stuff, and they read several passages from her diary that have been used against her throughout this documentary. And every one, if you are remotely empathetic as a human being, they just read as a person who is suffering and is trying to express the pain that she is feeling about what is happening in her life.
Yeah, like that first quote, "because it was me, not them," it seems like she's just saying there's something about her that she's just not going to be allowed to have kids.
Absolutely.
It's not proof that she fucking murdered her kids.
Oh, like, not even sort of. I mean, it's absolutely, like, Craig would be a piece of shit regardless for doing all of this. But like, then, you know, the police, you know, probably should have not taken this as evidence, because it's clearly not.
Yeah, or at least have a doctor examine it first or something. But
a psychiatrist? I mean, you know, like, shit. I mean, look, a diary, I'm sure, is important evidence or whatever. Like, again, I don't think this should be treated as a criminal case to begin with, but whatever. But surely you have an expert. You have, you know, you seem to love experts. So why don't you have one who's like a psychiatrist?
Yeah. But instead, they just immediately arrest her just based on the diary. Because when they question her about it, she explains what she was getting at to the best of her ability. Yes. Because again, she's emotionally devastated in this moment.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. A fucking demeanor conviction. I hate it.
Ugh.
And there's there's a documentary series on Netflix called The Confession Tapes, which is really good. And it's about people who confess to crimes that they say they did not commit. There's one case where I think motherfuckers did it. But there's also one where this guy and his wife get sent to prison. They had a car accident, basically, and their car went into the river and they weren't able to get the kids out because they weren't like especially strong swimmers. Like, the kids drown and the parents lived. And this guy gets convicted basically because he didn't show enough emotion. But also he had been prescribed Valium because his kids had just died. And as someone who's taken Valium, that shit shuts you down.
That's like, the whole point.
Yes. Like, it really numbs them emotions. And then to turn around and say, well, he's obviously a murderer because he's not crying enough. It's really gets under my skin. And you see the time. All the time.
Oh, yeah. And in this tape we see of Kathy Forbig, like, she looks like a woman who just lost her fourth infant. Yeah. That's what she seems like to me. I don't see a murderer there.
No.
I'm sorry. And of course I'm biased or whatever, but don't act like the fucking cops aren't. And they are just totally forcing the issue and, you know, constantly returning to the question of whether she did it. Like, it's just even that alone would be an unimaginable torture for a mother.
Yeah. So, of course, the media sets about destroying her character also before her trial is even over.
Thank God. Well, at least Australia is a little nicer than Britain, right? Surely. Oh, no. Oh, no.
No. Unfortunately not. We're all part of the Five Eyes. We all do the same stuff. John Sweeney. Yep. John Sweeney is the one, I mean, not the only, but he's a good guy. Like, he's one of the good characters in this. He's an investigative journalist. And he, as these trials are happening, he recognizes that these women are probably being railroaded. And he starts looking in specifically to Roy Meadows' 1 in 73 million statistic. And it turns out that statistic comes from a guy named Peter Fleming, a professor of infant health. He sent Roy Meadow a report that he was the lead researcher on and asked him to, like, write the preface. And there was a quote about 1 in 73 million in there. It was not the quote Roy Meadow claims it to be, but he completely misinterprets this and uses that misinterpretation to essentially launch a career, sending innocent women to prison.
As Peter Fleming says, like, 1 in 73 million, like, 73 million is the number of births that had happened in the United Kingdom in the last 100 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it's obviously on its face wrong.
And Peter Fleming offers to go testify on Sally Clark's behalf. He's like, hey, I'm also an expert. I'm the expert that your expert got that quote from. So how about you let me come explain it and we can probably get Sally Clark out of prison. And they're like, no, it's fine.
No, thanks.
Yeah, this is settled business. Let's just move on.
Wait. I'm sorry. We're not here to get people out of prison.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think we're trying to do.
Peter Fleming, he's turned down when he offers to testify on Sally Clark's behalf. But eventually, public opinion starts to turn on Roy Meadow.
All of the women were in prison.
Because even though Peter Fleming isn't allowed to testify on Sally Clark's behalf, there's nothing stopping him from working with John Sweeney to get the information out about how flawed Roy Meadow's law is. And this here, right here, is where Roy Meadow, there should be something you can charge Roy Meadow with. When he was challenged about the research to support his 1 in 73 million claim, he said it was his own research and he shredded it. Fucking what? There are women in prison for life and you shredded the research to back up your claim? I'm sorry, Roy Meadow should be in prison. He should go to prison.
Space. He should go to space.
Space prison, obviously, which is just
space. Is what I'm saying. Like, this motherfucker. Like, let's just launch him up. Just strap a fucking rocket to his back and let him go. He needs to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, when I heard that part, I was floored. Like,
to fully evil.
Pass yourself off as a man of science and then say, I shredded the research. Why? Were you afraid the Nazis were going to find it when they invaded the UK? What the fuck are you talking about, you shredder?
Yeah, Roy, I'm afraid that you're going to have to hand over all of your shredder contents. Like, I think we're going to go through that, too. Like, the thing that comes up, it comes up a few times. It's like, People on the criminal justice side are like, you know, Roy, he was just such a fun guy. He was so lovable. He was kind of like your fun uncle, someone says at one point. And then you look at this motherfucker. He looks like the most stiff upper lip British fuckwad that's ever existed. He looks like a pain in the ass.
Looks like your fun uncle.
Maybe some Brit's fun uncle, but not my red-blooded American fun uncle.
So, shortly after the Sally Clark conviction, Angela Cannings goes on trial. And by this point, it's come out that Meadow's law is mostly nonsense. Like, Roy Meadow has been publicly shamed at this point. On top of that, we mentioned environmental factors earlier. Turns out, in Angela Cannings' case, four other families in her same village basically suffered this exact same fate.
They're like, no, we dismissed the possibility of environmental causes. And then they're listing like, okay, well, she lived next to a train track that carried hazardous waste. They lived next to a bunch of like a, you know, an old dump or some shit. And then they're like, oh, yeah. And they also lived next to an old military weapons testing ground.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, come on now. You don't think maybe any of this could have had a factor?
Yeah, what's crazy is according to Meadow's law, all of those mothers murdered their children. Like the four other families, it would be that would all be murder in like the odds of that happening, like 1 in 73 million.
At least. Yeah, it only happens once every 100 years.
And the problem is the defense isn't able to prove any of the environmental causes as leading to the death of her children.
Right.
But also the prosecution doesn't provide any evidence that she killed her kids.
No, none at all. Especially in Angela's case, which is why it was the one that really was the nail in the coffin for Roy. At least, you know, I mean, he then began practicing medicine again years later. But like, this was the one that really got most women off because it's only Meadow's law. That is the cited reason and the only cited reason, because then they go in and they're, I think it's her, where they go in and they're like, yeah, like this kid, he had like blood behind his eye, you know, he had like, you know, blood in his eyes, signs of retinal bleeding. And then they're like, oh no, actually turns out that happened after he died. Uh-oh, whoops. Oh, you're already going to prison. Oh, we can't stop you. Oh, sorry. Your life is destroyed, but it's okay, you'll get another one, sweetie.
Yeah, believe in karma.
Jeez.
Speaking of the rare good figure in this documentary, I mean, all the moms.
Love this lady.
There's just a couple really big villains, and it makes it seem like everyone in this is a villain. But Marilyn Stowe, she is a family lawyer, and she fucking rules.
She's great.
She reaches out to the Clark family and offers to help because she knows Sally Clark has been convicted based on Meadow's law, basically, and wants to try and get her out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of shit I'm talking about when stuff like this is a celebration of shitty police work. She immediately finds out from a nurse at the hospital where the second child, Harry, died, that the nurse was concerned there might have been a problem with the baby's heart monitor because it kept going off. And the lawyer asks the obvious question, was there maybe something wrong with the baby and not the heart monitor?
And she's like, oh, I didn't think of that.
This woman is like, good point. How about you go talk to my superiors? And she sends Marilyn Stowe to another medical center where the staff there says they are not talking to her. They're like, we knew you were coming.
They meet her in the parking lot.
Yeah. They're like, don't even come in. We're not talking to you at all. And the police call her and ask her why she's poking around. Like, we already solved this case in it.
Right.
Why are you asking all these questions? The hospital calls her and says, stop talking to our employees. And she says, I am going to keep calling your employees until you cooperate with me.
Yeah.
And so they give her all the documents they have in their possession regarding baby Harry's death.
Mm-hmm.
And they find it's right in the report. He died of meningitis. He had a lethal amount of bacteria in his spinal fluid, a.k.a. he died of meningitis. How would Sally Clark fucking give her kid meningitis? It's not how that works.
No, not at all. Again, it's not even hard police work. It's just there.
It's basic police. It's not even police work. It's like medical examiner work. Like,
I mean,
how did no one look at these files? Because that's all it takes. Like, that's all it takes. Like, Sally Clark went to prison for a bunch of years. It's a travesty. But
yeah,
once that happens, like, they turn it over to an appeals court, and the appeals court is like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. She shouldn't be in prison anymore. Whoops. And
wait, nothing bad happened to her, though, during this whole thing. Like, she's fine. No. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah. Do I even have in the notes what eventually happens to Sally Clark? She dies. She dies.
Yeah. She kills her. I mean, you know, she becomes an alcoholic and has lethal alcohol poisoning.
Drinks herself to death.
In 2007. And it's just so sad.
Yeah. And it's obviously because of this. Like,
absolutely. This combined with like two children dying.
Yeah. The children dying would have probably, like, that's going to be enough to make a lot of people drink themselves to death. And on top of that, you get charged with their murder and you get your entire name dragged through the mud by every media outlet. It's nuts.
Just ruined. Her husband, at least, is not Craig. Not as bad as Craig.
Yes.
Like, he is at least kind. He's like, no, I believe that you didn't kill our children. Like,
yeah,
I obviously trust you.
Oh, but fucking Craig, in the midst of all this.
The fucking worst.
Even after Sally Clark is released, Kathleen Folbig's trial carries on. Even though, again, she's basically arrested based on Meadows' law, which has been super duper discredited by now. And I feel like it's those diary entries that are the issue.
I mean, we'll talk about it, but that's definitely what's keeping her in prison.
Yeah. I saw a true crime episode once about a guy who was convicted of his wife's murder in part because he downloaded I Used to Love Her by Guns N' Roses shortly before. And here's the thing. He did definitely kill her.
Sure.
It's just weird that that came up.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like that has anything to do with it. Other than he's an ass, like he just likes GNR and he's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Not kind of. He killed someone, but still.
But yeah, she gets super duper convicted because even though there's no actual physical signs of smothering, she is convicted of murder and the claim is that she smothered her children to death. There's been doctors who have given a cause of death.
Yep.
And nevertheless, they say she smothered her kids. So on the bright side, John Sweeney, the investigative reporter we mentioned earlier, he starts looking into Angela Canning's case because she's still in prison. And he looks into her family tree. And what he finds is that this same thing has been happening to women in her family going back like three generations.
Yeah.
Which, again, they turn it over to an appeals court and her conviction is overturned. Because those stats certainly don't support Meadows' law. That's goddamn sure.
Well, because Meadows' law just whole cloth dismisses the very idea of there being a genetic link to SIDS. Not to mention the fact that this is something that statistically, Roy Meadow is not a statistician. He is a physician. He does not have any idea about statistics, and a lot of statisticians were very critical of him. But they were, like, the most important thing, though, is, like, I wanted to read this, that the occurrence of one caught death makes it likely that the family in question has such conditions, and the probability of subsequent deaths is therefore greater than the group average. Which is something that Meadows' law does not take into account at all. It's something like 1 in 100 if you have a precondition for it. So of course these women are having multiple. That actually makes more sense.
I think the reason it's just labeled under this umbrella term of SIDS, like we'll talk in a minute about what it takes this team of doctors, like the work they have to do to figure out how Kathleen Folbig's kids actually died. Like, it's like, it's heavy science. Like, it is a whole bunch of research and investigation that your local coroner or medical examiner isn't going to do. Your local PD isn't going to do.
Well, so it's not just that, but it was even harder because this is happening years and years after the kids have died. Like, it would be actually slightly easier for a coroner who was motivated to actually try to find the cause of death, to find the actual cause of death.
And it's the exact thing that people accuse conspiracy theorists of all the time is, well, you're just like reaching for an explanation for something that's unexplainable. And it's like, that's what these fucking cops are doing. And that's what these prosecutors are doing.
That's sometimes, what the cops do
sometimes
so often.
Tragedy strikes a family. Like,
yes,
that's
and
all
often
there is
with
to
something
it.
Like, yeah, and often with something like this, if tragedy strikes a family once, it can often happen again.
But don't
to say
worry.
That it's 73 million to 1 is the like it is the exact opposite, in fact, of what the actual truth is. It's actually way more like it's like closer to 2 to 1 in some cases.
Yeah, but don't worry. Roy Meadow, he gets his. Finally, in 2005, he's struck off the medical register, which I'm guessing means he lost his medical license.
That was my understanding, yeah.
And I think that lasted about 6 months.
Something not very long at all.
It was very brief, and then it was reinstated. However, he is banned from giving testimony in court cases going forward, which that's good.
Sure.
But also, arrest Roy Meadow. And Roy Moore. Yeah. I almost slipped up and said Roy Moore. Fuck yeah, arrest Roy Moore
just
too.
Shoot Roy Moore. No, okay.
Into space.
Yeah, space. Both these motherfuckers. Like the worst. Fuck Roy Meadows. And yeah, it's just so symbolic of the problems with criminal justice systems in most countries.
Yeah. The pathologist in the Sally Clark case, that motherfucker, he was struck off the medical register for 3 years, which that'll show him.
Absolutely. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, it's just he fucking changed the document. Like he knowingly fabricated his evidence to the court. People get arrested for that shit all the time.
It's a crime. It's perjury.
It is. I mean, I don't know how it works in jolly old London, but here in fucking America, that doesn't ever really get prosecuted unless you're, you know, black or poor.
Yeah, exactly. It would have gone the exact same way here. Don't worry about it. We just wouldn't have been wearing wigs when we sent everyone to prison.
Yeah, that's okay. Look, I don't understand how you keep doing the wig thing, guys. It looks, how am I ever supposed to take you seriously as a lawyer? I'm sorry, I know it's tradition or whatever, but tradition sucks.
A lot of tradition. Traditions stop happening because they weren't good.
Because they're silly!
And that's one of them. It's just, I bet those, either they fucking stink.
Or
the taxpayer money that goes into keeping them pristine.
Well,
is just it would probably bring down the royal family if the UK knew what they're spending keeping those fucking wigs clean.
Well, like they always look a little gross. Yeah. Like they always look a little ratty now.
Yeah, it looks like they stole them from the grave of the person they're imitating.
I just don't think that the people who are practicing law and trying to decide whether someone is going to lose their life potentially, well, not in London, but, you know, whatever, like, have their lives ruined. Like, I don't think that they should be defended by someone who looks like a historical reenactor, you know? Like, they should look professional.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
Anyway, enough xenophobia.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. Free Kathleen Folbig.
Oh my God, absolutely.
She is still in prison. Speaking of another hero in this story, immunogeneticist Dr. Carola Vinuesa.
She fucking rules.
She's great. And
I love her.
She does, like, you'll have to watch the documentary and let her explain it. Me and Olivia certainly aren't going to put all this science into words in a good
way.
Yeah,
I'm not an immunogeneticist, so I don't feel qualified.
She does a whole bunch of research into this family, and she finds that the two girls had genetic mutations that predisposed them to sudden unexpected death, as did Kathleen. Like, they all had it. The two boys both carried potentially lethal genetic mutations linked to early onset lethal epilepsy in mice. And one of the deaths was epilepsy.
Yeah.
So on March 4th, 2021, a petition signed by more than 100 scientists, including Dr. Vinuesa, was published by the Australian Academy of Science calling for Folbig to be pardoned. On March 24th, 2021, Kathleen's appeal was once again rejected. The court did not take the scientific evidence into account. And not because it wasn't available. The judge was just like, I've seen everything I need to see in this case. She did it. So that's especially frustrating because so many times you see people will go, we got all the physical evidence. We got all the DNA. But then you'll get that same cop a few years later going, they thought they were going to come in here and fool everybody with their science. And it's like, you don't fool people with science. Like, you just you just read the science here, and it should lead to you letting this woman out of prison despite how depressed she was in those diary entries.
Yeah.
But the diary entries, especially in this case, are almost all they take into account.
Yeah.
And they're playing audio in the courtroom. And at one point, the prosecutor mentions that she said she lost it with one of the kids. And he was like, well, was that the first time you lost it? You've lost it with the other kids, right? And that he keeps saying, you lost it. You lost it. And it turns out, if you keep reading that diary entry, what lost it means is her kid was crying and would not stop crying. So she took the kid out of the high chair and put him on the floor so he could crawl around. And she went in her room to cry.
Yeah.
That's what fucking lost it means. And she still gets fucking convicted for a second time. Nuts. Absolutely nuts. Fucking arrest Roy Meadow.
It's so sad. And like, both of the things that made me cry related to Kathleen Folbig. One was her friend who was the babysitter who, for her fourth child, naturally, she required that anybody who would babysit her child was CPR certified. Yeah. And so she basically had one friend who would babysit for her. And her, like, her name's Karen, and she talks about an incident where the baby stopped breathing. And she's so terrified by it that she bursts into tears, like, and it just is so heart-wrenching. And again, also, seems like that would be evidence that maybe
she
didn't kill her kid. But, you know, that's... And then, like, and then at the end, when they're talking about trying... You know, this is, like, last year, and they're talking to one of her friends about getting her out of prison, and she's like... Yeah, no, she's going to come stay with me. And like, and she leads her around the little house that she made for her on, like, in her place. And like, she's like, yeah, you know, she's just been in a place where it's had to be serious every day. And so I just thought I'd make this, like, really fun. I'm going to start crying again.
Yeah.
Like, dude, she's just like, I just thought I'd make this, like, fun, you know, have it be, like, funny, you know, so, and just, like, let her around, and there's, like, paintings of animals because she likes animals. It's just like, these people know that she is not a murderer. Everybody knows. And the courts are still adamant about keeping this woman in prison. It's an unconscionable torture. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I hate to say it. Like, I hate to be all American exceptionalism about it, but this is the kind of thing you expect to happen in the United States.
Right.
Like, the fact that it's all not happening here is kind of jarring. It's like, well, what's the shitty U.S. remake of this? Because I'm sure it has happened by now.
Yeah, there's no way that this
I don't mean the documentary. I mean this travesty of justice has probably
I'm saying there's no way this hasn't happened. Yeah. Like this basically exact thing. We just don't know about it.
Well, it's the shaken – a lot of it is the shaken baby syndrome stuff.
For sure.
And again, but listen to that episode or watch that documentary. Do both.
I mean what it proves is that it's not just an American sickness. It's not just a problem with our criminal justice system. It's a problem with how so many modern cultures think about the actual like concept of criminal justice.
Yeah. And women. And
women. I mean, of course, there's obviously a whole – Roy Meadow is an absolute misogynist.
Yes.
Just a full-on woman-hating asshole. And that just informs every aspect of his professional life and the fact that he is unscathed by this, other than basically, I think anybody who is paying attention in Britain during this time knows that he is a quack, but materially, he's still able to practice medicine. At the that should be the absolute least of his punishments, is the fact that he should no longer be allowed to practice medicine.
Yeah, this guy should be working at a petrol station.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but then I'd feel bad for the petrol station attendants.
Yeah, this piece of shit's still alive, of course.
Yeah, he'll never die.
No, probably not. There's even another couple, Ian and Angela Gay.
Yeah. He
apparently sent them to prison also.
Oh, yeah, his Wikipedia page is a ride if anybody wants to go take a look. It's... I mean, he's a monster. He's one of these classic British medical monsters.
You know, he accused them of killing their kid via non-accidental salt poisoning.
Oh,
It turned out he just had a form of diabetes that caused an elevated salt level. Huh. Arrest Roy Meadow.
Into space. No suit. Just on a rocket.
So I think that's our episode. Sorry, this wasn't. I mean, are any of these episodes like really feel good episodes? I mean, conspiracy podcast. We're not.
I think this was as fun as an episode about a half dozen babies dying can be.
Yeah. On the one hand, I would normally say go watch this documentary.
I mean, it's good.
It's very good. It's very well done. It's very important information. But also, it's a lot.
It's tough. I mean, you'll probably cry.
Yeah, you should. Like, you should cry watching this.
Yeah.
But until then. But also, you could just listen to this episode. And do listen to that pretty scary episode also about shaken baby syndrome. Because that is also a travesty of justice. I don't know what we're going to cover next. It'll be a bonus episode. But I don't know what it'll be about.
Yeah.
I need Jesse Ventura to make more television. That's what I really, really need.
I just watched Predator, and it was so nice to see him. It really was.
Don't be invisible.
It felt like seeing an old friend now. Like, I never had that much of an attachment in the past beyond he's a funny voice to do, but I now just love the guy. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was wrong about him being a Trump supporter. He actually called for Trump to be arrested. So that's
hell great. Yeah. Hell yeah, Jesse.
Fuck yeah.
We can still smoke weed.
Yeah, let's roll it up. Do not bring Oliver Stone's kid. I don't trust him.
No, please. No, I didn't say I went to fucking smoke with Sean Stone, right?
Sean Stone and what's his kid's name?
Tyrell.
Shit, you're not. Yeah, Tyrell.
Yeah, Tyrell. Oh, hard man. To forget that name.
So we'll be back with a bonus episode next week. You could, if you haven't yet, you could go listen to Going Back, our Lost Rewatch podcast.
Yeah.
If you are a Conspiracy the Show subscriber, you're getting those right in the same feed before they go public. You're welcome. And bonus episodes. So don't say we never did nothing for you. And that podcast, fun as hell.
Oh, yeah. It's a blast. I'm having a great time.
Man, if this network could just be rewatch podcasts, that's get me on that road. That's all I want. So check that out. And I'm doing a live podcast, a live episode of Unpopular Opinion, August 28th at 4 p.m. in New York City. At
New York City!
Right? Where all the good salsa's made.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I bet there's really good salsa in New York City.
There is. There's good barbecue in New York, too.
Yeah.
Which would also make people go, New York City!
Yeah. So, come to that in New York City, August 28th, 4 p.m., me, Alex Schmidt, Sliceberg Slim, who's been on this podcast before, and my comedian friend, Khalise Hawkins, we are going to be doing a live Unpopular Opinion episode.
Awesome.
So, come to that. Unpops.co/NYC to get tickets. And that's all for me. Do you have anything to plug?
I'll plug me going to community college. That's what I'm doing.
Hell yeah. I think that's it. Let's get out of here. Olivia, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
People of Earth, your planet is about to be destroyed.